Well, good morning. It's wonderful to see you. We've got guests among us. We're honored that you've come to be with us. I see my sister Jawanda with us. It's good to see you, sister. Thanks for being here. And there are others. There are others. Marcia, we have special people among us. That means you've got a responsibility, and you be sure you do it. It's good to see our sister Sabrina with us. Been away from us for a while. We're glad you're back. Let's see a lot more of you. So let's be sure that we encourage her. And got that new grandbaby. Let's watch that grandbaby just grow up in the Lord. Just grow up in the Lord. And that's what it's all about. That's really all that matters. That's really all that matters. Grandbaby could be a doctor, a lawyer, an Indian chief. And all of those could be good things, but they really don't matter. Unless they go to heaven, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So let's just watch those kids grow up in the Lord. Become Christians, and then stay faithful. Well, we're thankful that you're with us. We invite you to open your Bibles with us, Hebrews 11. And while you're finding that, I need to thank some other people. A lot has happened this week. I thank Carrie Wells, Thomas, Roger Harlan for work that's been done on your audio-visual equipment, your visual equipment, your projectors, whether you can tell any difference in them or not. I can tell a difference. There was actually something on that back wall this morning. It's been a few weeks since that happened, and I could even see a difference in some of the things in front of us this morning, and they worked hard, and we appreciate that. Carrie Wells yesterday washed down this building yesterday. He worked hard now. He worked hard. And you need to express your appreciation of that. Because, he could have been just like me. He could have said, hey, ain't my job. That's someone else's job. You know, why don't we all become somebody else? You know what I'm talking about? You ever wished you could be somebody else? You know, well, who's going to do that? Oh, don't worry about it. Somebody will take care of it. Why don't you be somebody? You can be a somebody in the body of Christ. And Carrie did that for us yesterday. We're thankful to him for that. And then, didn't we have a great fish fry last night? Oh, those of you who missed it, you missed it. You missed it. You won't ever have that opportunity again. But that's just the way opportunities are, aren't they? If you don't take hold of them when they're there, you'll never have that opportunity again. Now, maybe one will come along similar to it again, and you'd have an opportunity. But see, you missed that opportunity. Those of you who missed it, you missed a great time. Lots of folks came, lots of visitors and family and guests came to be with us, and Roger Harlan deserves our expression of appreciation for not just planning it, but for making sure that all the fish and hush puppies and French fries and all of that stuff that was cooked was purchased and was here. And then those people who helped with the cooking. And then all of you who came and brought so much good food. Now, you know, I can't speak for that. I just have to take Sandy's word for it. But she sampled all of it, didn't you, Sandy? She says that was wonderful, and you guys did great. And thanks for bringing people. Thanks for inviting your family and your friends to come and to be a part of it. It was wonderful. Thank you for everything that you've done. And you be sure, as you see those folks that I've mentioned specifically, that you thank them and for all of that. Last week we looked at Hebrews chapter 11, and I reminded us that the Hebrew writer is really pointing out to us that it's our time in history. Hey, Abel had his time. Enoch had his time in history. Noah had his time in history. He did. But now, seeing we are compassed about by that great, great cloud of witnesses who received a good report because they stayed faithful, let us run with patience. It's our time to run. Let us run with patience the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Hey, it's our time. It's our time. You know, Jesus has already conceded the numbers. Well, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, the Apostle Paul would write to Timothy. It's appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That we should live soberly. Our responsibility to one another, to ourselves, to live soberly. I got a responsibility myself to live righteously. I've got a responsibility to live right for you. A responsibility to others and to live godly. And I've got a responsibility to God. And if I do, I'll receive a good report. If I don't, hey, our Lord has already conceded the numbers, folks. He's already conceded the numbers. Remember, he said that there's a way that leads to salvation, and few there be that find it. Now, there's a way that leads to destruction, and many go in thereat. He's already conceded the numbers. He's looking for that few of us which are going to dig our feet in and stand for what's right and do what's right. That's who he's looking for. And it's our time in history. We're making that decision right now. We're writing our story, every one of us. He's already conceded their number. There'll be few. Will you be among the few? Or will you be among the many? Hey, it's your time. Do you know that that's really what the book of Hebrews is about? And really, Hebrews 11 is a concluding statement. Hebrews 11:1 is a concluding statement. That, hey, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Now he'll go on to write some more things to tell us about those who lived by faith and give us those examples of those people who obtained a good report, who had their time in history. They obtained a good report. And he'll go on to encourage, you know, people reading his letter, whoever he is that wrote this, encourage people who are reading this letter to live like those people who obtained a good report did. But really, Hebrews 11:1 is the concluding statement. If you're going to stand, it's because you're going, if you're going to stand and stand right before God, it's going to be because you stand on faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Your Bible may say it's the confidence of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things that aren't seen. Faith is the substance. That word substance comes from the same word, source, that we get our word ground from. It's the ground we stand on. It's the substance. It's what we stand on. And he's simply saying to these people who are reading this letter, he's saying, that's where you got to stand and you got to dig in. Roger, it reminds me of when we were boys. And y'all know what we're talking about. The girls do understand this too. You played softball. You played baseball. Or at least you've watched someone who did. I mean, I don't get to watch the Cardinals right now, but hey, well, it's always next year, right, Roger? Always next year. But that batter will step up there and he'll step outside and he'll take a bat and he'll knock the dust, the dirt, the mud off those cleats. He's trying to get those things clean. He'll knock the dirt off those cleats and then he'll step into that batter's box and he'll dig his feet in, right? He'll dig his feet in, and now he's saying to the pitcher, okay, bring it on. Bring it on. I'm ready. I've got my feet grounded in here. I'm dug in. Hey, some of you played football. You used to play football on natural grass. I don't know whether there's any natural grass around anymore. Well, you used to play football on natural grass, and you'd see those guys that get up on that line, and man, they'd start kicking the ground. You know what they're doing? They're digging in. I don't care whether you were on offense or defense. They're digging in. And they're saying, in effect, okay, bring it on. Bring it on. I'm ready. I'm ready. And the Hebrew writer is saying the same thing, exactly the same thing to those of us who are reading this letter. Hey, dig in. It's the substance on which you stand. Faith. Dig in. Don't give up. Don't quit. Dig in. Some of us need to learn that. Some of us need to learn to dig in. Dig in. Because Satan's really good at what he does. He's really good at deceiving us. He's really good at getting us to deceive ourselves. And so, you hear sermon after sermon after sermon. You hear lesson after lesson after lesson. And you say to yourself, well, doesn't apply to me. Not anything I needed. And you go right on your way. And instead of looking into the perfect law of liberty and being not a forgetful hearer, but rather being a doer of the word, we're like a man who beholds his face in a mirror. And we see the corrections that need to be changed, but we deceive ourselves. Oh, I'm fine. I'm good. Like a guy told me this week, I'm good. In other words, don't bother me, David. I'm good. I'm good. We're like a man who looks in a mirror. Now, we can see everybody else in that mirror, really. We look in there and we say, oh, he needs to change. Oh, she needs to change. Or, I'm as good as they are. And we make no changes in ourselves. When you look in a mirror, who should you be looking at? Who should you be seeing? All things being right, who should you see? Can you imagine me getting up in the morning, going in there and slapping a little water on my face like I do, getting myself going? And I look up in the mirror and there's old Michael looking back at me. You talk about running. I love you, Michael. That scared me to death. But if we're not careful, we'll look into God's mirror and we'll see Michael. When who's the only one that ought to see Michael when Michael looks in that mirror? Michael ought to see Michael. Who should David see? David ought to see David. And when you look into it, you ought to see you. You ought to see you. And the Hebrew writer, whoever he is saying, now look, dig in. Now these people, at this time, they were undergoing severe persecution. You see, there are two times in a Christian's life that are really dangerous for a Christian. Number one is persecution. Because when a person undergoes persecution, sometimes they're tempted to escape the persecution and go to a lifestyle that'll help them avoid the persecution. And the Hebrew writers say, no. Dig in. Put those spikes in the ground. Dig in. The second place, the second time, that is really, really dangerous for a disciple of Jesus Christ, a Christian, is when there is absolutely no persecution, like right now. Like where we live right now. Because when there is no persecution, we get soft. We don't ground our feet. We get soft. That's really dangerous. Do you know the difference between the first century church and the church in 2017? The difference, folks, is persecution. When you read the book of Acts, And you read about the church and the way it was growing and the way it was flourishing. It was because they were under persecution. And the ones, you were either all in or you were all out. And the ones who weren't all in, they left. They deserted. And you'll read about some of them. The Apostle Paul will talk about them. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. You'll read about some of those. They left. That left the church pure. But that left the church strong and aggressive. Persecution. And then you look at the church in 2017 and we're not strong, we're not aggressive. What's the difference? No persecution. And so we become soft and become infiltrated with people who really haven't dug their feet in at all. I mean, they're just waiting. They're just waiting. Now, they don't think they are. They'll deceive themselves. But they're just waiting for one thing to happen. For one thing to happen. For one thing to occur. And they're out. They're out. The Hebrew writer would say, no, no, no. Now's the time to dig in. Now's the time to recognize, don't deceive yourself. Now's the time to dig in. To dig in. If someone could tell you 100%, no doubt about it, way to dig in times of persecution and in times of ease, would you be interested in it? Would you? That's what the Hebrew writer does. So I want to just scan it with you. We're not going to have time to spend a lot of time on any one thing. But this will get you started, and then you're smarter than I am. Folks, my seventh grade granddaughter has a better education than I do. Right now. Anyone can read their Bible and understand this. But will you? Will you? So I'm just going to get you started. And then, you know, we can feed you a little bit on Sunday mornings in Bible class and a little bit on Sunday mornings in the worship service. And we'll try again on Wednesday night. But I guarantee you, if that's all the spiritual food you're getting, you're starving yourself to death. You're starving. So you're going to have to do some on your own, okay? You just got to do it. You just got to. So I just want to just look. Let the Holy Spirit tell you how to dig those cleats in. How to get grounded in there. To where you can say to the world, bring it on. Bring it on. Whatever happens, I'm staying faithful. Whatever happens. If persecution comes, I'm staying faithful. If it's a time of ease and no persecution, I'm staying faithful. I'm staying faithful. So read with me. Hebrews chapter 2. Here's the first thing you can do. The first thing you do is take heed. Verse 1. Take heed to the things which you have heard, lest at any time you let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast. Don't think heavenly creatures right now with, you know, I don't know what a spiritual angel looks like. Has it got wings? Some think so because of things that are said in Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 2, about having six wings. I don't know. I know that angels appeared to look just like men sometimes, right? But they were spiritual beings. But on this occasion, don't think spiritual being, think messenger. Think messenger. Like, how did God speak to men? How did God address people under the patriarchal period? He spoke to fathers, right? And then he spoke through the prophets, right? Well, look at Hebrews 1:1. Look at it. You with me? God, who in different times, sundry times, and in different ways, diverse manners, spake unto the fathers by the prophets, but he hath in these last days spoken to us through his Son. Now go back and look at Hebrews 2:1. Wherefore we ought to take the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by, and you might think about spoken by the fathers in the patriarchal period, by the prophets in the prophetical era of time, and now who speaks to us? God in these last days has spoken to us through his Son, right? But if the word which was spoken to us by those messengers, if every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward under the patriarchal period, under the prophets, if their words, every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape? If we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, well, he's the one that speaks to us now, right? Began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, that'd be the apostles. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. What's his point? What's his point? Give heed. Give heed to the things that you've heard now. Dig in. Dig in. Because if you don't, how can you escape if you neglect it? Neglect. Neglect. Isn't that awful word, neglect? I mean, just this week, I was asked to come and to help with some kids that their parents had literally neglected them. Kids hadn't been bathed in forever. Their clothes hadn't been washed in forever. Neglect. Now we can understand that, can't we? That's awful. That's wrong. That's not right. Should never happen. Right? Should never happen. What if you neglect the great salvation which the Lord has spoken to you? Oh well. No big deal. The Hebrew writer would say, it is. It is. Dig in. Dig in. How do you keep from slipping? The word's in here, right? We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Well, how do you dig in so you won't slip? You give heed to the things which are spoken unto you. You don't neglect it. You don't neglect it. In chapter 3, we pick up on another one. Not that there's not things in between there. I'm just giving you highlights now. But beginning in verse number 12, remember, there's a rest that you can miss. There is a rest that you can miss. Don't deceive yourself. Well, I was baptized. I got it made. My ticket has been punched. Really? Really? There's a rest that you can miss. Begin with me. I'm just going to read for you. Take heed, brethren. There you come up with it again. Take heed. Sounds like 2 verse 1, doesn't it? Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You mean it's possible, David, for somebody who believes to change into someone who does not believe? Read the verse. He calls them brethren, doesn't he? And warns them, hey, you still got that heart of belief. You still got that. But it could change to a heart of unbelief. but exhort one another. Hey, exhort us, dig in like I'm doing you. Dig in, don't give up. Plant your feet, take a stand, write your report, and let it be said of you, I lived faithful. But exhort one another daily, while it's called today. It's your time in history. While it's your time, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin can harden you. And it's deceptive as it does it. It'll harden you. For we're made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence. You know what? Same root word that's found in Hebrews 11:1. It's the substance. It's the confidence. It's it. We're partakers of Christ, made partakers of Christ. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today if you'll hear his voice, don't harden your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, by with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should enter into his rest? But to them that believe not? Oh no. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Look, there used to not be a chapter break here, folks. There was a time when there was no chapter break here. Look at verse 1, chapter 4. Let us therefore fear. Let us dig in. Let us be alert to the fact that we could slip. We could neglect. So let's dig in. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should come up short of it. Does that sound like it's possible for David Riley to come up short of the rest, the promise of rest? Does that sound like it? That's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like. How do you keep that from happening? How do you keep that from happening? Be aware. It can happen to you. Your heart that believes today, just keep playing with it. Just keep playing with it. Just keep playing with sin. Just keep playing with it. You'll end up with a heart of unbelief. And you'll depart completely from the living God. You'll miss that rest. So dig in, church. Dig in. Over in chapter 4, verse number 11. Hey, you want to keep from slipping? You want to dig your feet in? Then grow out of immaturity. Grow out of it. There's a growth process that needs to take place. It ought to take place. Naturally should take place. Watch, beginning in verse 11. Of whom we have many, he's talking about Christ being the great high priest after the order of Melchizedek. You can read all of that. And he's talking about him and he says, of whom, of Christ, we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you still have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And you've become as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. He's a babe. But what do we expect for that baby to do? What do we expect for John Dana's baby to do? You're going to be worried if that baby doesn't grow, right? You're going to be worried. There's something wrong. Well, what happens with a Christian who doesn't grow? How come we can't see the same thing? How come we can't look back a year I'm looking back a year at my life. Have I grown any? Well, if you're not growing, you're dying, folks. That's just a fact. That's just a fact. They're babes. They've been Christians long enough. They ought to be teachers. They ought to be eating meat. But they're still drinking. They're still wanting the milk. They're still wanting to be taught instead of teaching. He says, but strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. They've grown up. They can handle it. They can handle that. They're of full age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Do you know anyone? And I'm talking about members of the Lord's church. Did he just listen to them and you'd wonder, do they know the difference between good and evil? Between right and wrong? You know what? If you don't know the difference between good and evil, it's because you're still a babe. You're a baby. Sadie Drew doesn't know the difference between right and wrong. Yeah, she's learning. She's learning. You jerk Pawpaw's glasses off, your hand gets slapped. Oh, don't turn me into Scan. She's got to be trained, right? She's got to be disciplined. Grow out of immaturity, he says. Listen, there used to not be a chapter break here. Church, there wasn't always a chapter break here. Therefore, and as my dad was accustomed to saying, the word therefore is there for a reason. It's connecting. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let's go on unto perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrines of baptism, of laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do, if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. Seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now, who are those people? There's those people who were standing on faith, but they didn't dig in. They didn't secure themselves in it. And so they fell away. They fell away. It's impossible. Impossible to renew them again into repentance. Look with me. We better skip some of these. Look with me over to chapter 9. So you got some homework. There's some stuff in there between chapters 5, 6, and chapters 9. So look with me at chapter 9. Look at verse number 27. Remember, your salvation is at stake, the Hebrew writer would say. We're talking about salvation. We're not, you're a Christian, yes. You're a Christian, but dig in. Why? Your salvation is at stake. Look at verse 27, chapter 9. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Hey, folks, that's just a fact. That's just a fact. It's appointed unto men once to die. And if they die, what's coming on the heels of it? Judgment. It's just a fact. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him, that'd be those that's dug in, hanging on. But unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto what? I'm sorry, I thought there's someone in here. Salvation. Salvation. Salvation is at stake. The Holy Spirit is telling me how I can dig my feet in and hang on. Take heed. Take heed. Don't let it slip. The things you've heard, take heed to that. Don't let it slip. Remember, there is a rest. There is a rest that you can miss. There is. Grow out of your spiritual immaturity. Feed yourself. Feed yourself. And not just on milk. Mature, where you can handle the meat. Mature yourself. There's coming a judgment. Yes, there is. And your salvation is what we're dealing with here. It's at stake. He's telling me how to dig in. In chapter 10, verse number 24, how can you be sure that you dig in? That you dig in and you won't slip. You won't fall. You won't do that. How can you do it? Watch. Let's consider one another. To provoke one another to love and good works. Hey, let's think about one another. Let's consider each other. Hey, I want Brother Carlton to go to heaven. I'm considering him. What can I do to help him go to heaven? Now, I know Brother Carlton, and he wants David Riley to go to heaven. And he's asked himself on a few occasions, a lot of occasions, now what can I do to help him go to heaven? That's all the Hebrew writer's saying. Think about one another. You know what? We have got our eyes on our belly buttons. All we think about, generally, all we think about is ourselves. That's the only ones we can see as needing anything, is ourselves. And when you do, you'll forget about everybody else. You'll forget about everybody else. You'll start this kind of junk. You'll start this kind of junk. Well, I'm not getting anything. Why aren't people taking care of me? Me, me, me. Get your eyes off yourself, the Hebrew writer would say. Get your eyes off yourself. Consider one another. To provoke one another. To love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. But exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see that day approaching. You'll be guaranteed a way. Hey, it's not the only thing, but it's one of the things, is assembling with one another. Being together with one another. Like we were yesterday. Like we were in Bible class this morning. Like we are here. And like we'll be again this afternoon. There's some value in that. I know you don't see it. And some of you got mamas and daddies that are convincing you it ain't important. But there's value in assembling. For one thing, it helps you get your eyes off yourself. Here's an opportunity for you to exhort someone else. But here's an opportunity for you to be exhorted. Look at what it said. But exhorting who? One another. That means you get exhorted. Who else gets exhorted? By me being here. You get exhorted by me being here. Who else gets exhorted? Don't I? Hey, dig in. Because Satan's going to tell you, that ain't nothing for you. It ain't important. It's not important. There's more important things. Dig in. Don't let him do that to you. Dig in. We're almost through. So I'm going to share something with you. I've been visiting with a family over the last few weeks who at one time was faithful in the Lord's church. I mean, as far as we could tell, they were there every time anything was going on. They were there. You know, the first inclination to anyone that something's going on was they began not to attend on Sunday evenings. First inclination. They were talked to, visited with, but hey, we're good. Well, you know, we got this, we got that. We're good. Before long, it was Wednesday evenings. Never visited. Now we're good. We're good, David. We're good. Don't worry about us. We're good. So there, they all, time you ever saw them was Sunday morning. And guess what? They hadn't been with you in 7 years. They haven't been with you. As I visited with them, just visiting and just listening. Sometimes you learn more just by listening. And just listening. A kid who was 12 years old is now 19 years old. And she said, you know, when we first started not going on Sunday evenings, we missed it a lot. We missed it. And then when we stopped going on Wednesday evenings, we missed it. We did. We missed it a lot. And then Sunday mornings, we missed that too when we stopped going. But now, it doesn't bother us. Bingo. That's how Satan works, isn't it? Bingo. No man's, when he sinned, don't let any man say when he's tempted that he's tempted of God. Who tempteth no man, neither is he tempted. But every man is drawn away of his own lust. Every man is drawn away with his own lust and enticed. And lust, when it's born, when it's conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it's full grown, it brings forth death. James chapter 1, verses 11 through 14. How much clearer can you get? How much plainer can it be made to you? Assembling is a way of digging those cleats in. Staying faithful. One more. Here, still in the 10th chapter. Still in the 10th chapter. You need to learn to endure. You need to learn to endure. Dig in. Hang on. You need to learn to endure. Verse number 36. We're in chapter 10, verse 36. For you have need of patience, endurance. You have need of endurance. Why? That after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. It's only going to come to us because we endured. It's on the way. You have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he'll come. He that shall come will come, and he won't tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. These are the ones who have dug in. Their feet in to faith. They'll live by faith. But if any man draw back, this is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we're not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Are we going to dig in? Faith is a substance. There wasn't always a chapter break there, by the way. I know I don't have to keep reminding you of that. But there wasn't always a chapter break right there. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. We're either going to stand or we're going to fall. One or the other. Listen to Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as he writes to a specific congregation who were experiencing all kinds of difficulties, all kinds of things. He says, beginning in verse number 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you." Now listen. Where wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory that which I delivered unto you. You better dig in, church. You better dig in. You say, well, we're not experiencing persecution. That's the most dangerous time in the world for you. This is a dangerous time for you. You say, well, I'd rather have it like this than to have persecution. Have you your persecution, and that's a dangerous time for you as well. Either way, you better dig in. You better dig in. Get those feet saddled and grounded. Salvation is at stake. Salvation is at stake. You're writing your story. What will it be? Just Jesus has conceded the numbers. Will you be among the few who hear him say, well done, well done, you good and what? Faithful, right? Well done, well done. Or will you be among the many who here depart from me? I never knew you. You worked iniquity. You did what was wrong. You're writing your story just like I'm writing mine. And I can't write yours for you, and you can't write mine for me. But we can sure help each other. Can't we? And believe it or not, you are. Either you're helping me be better, or you're helping me be worse. Am I telling you the truth, or is that not right? And I hope I'm helping you to be better. But I could be helping you to be worse. I could. If that's true, I need to repent of that. I do. This morning, how are you doing? How are you doing? Be encouraged. You can stand. You can do this. You don't have to slip. You don't have to fall. You can write a story of your life, which, hey, if God is still writing the Bible, the Holy Spirit would say, by faith, she received a good report. By faith, he received a good report. You can do it. You can do it. We've not talked about becoming a Christian. We've been trying to encourage those of us who are Christians. But maybe you need to become a Christian this morning. You've been waiting. You've been waiting for whatever reason. Hey, you need to become a Christian and do it now. Do it now. Today is your day. It's your time in history. Are you going to be a child of God or not? If you're not a Christian, let us help you become one. You come just as full of faith as you can possibly be, with an attitude of repentance. Then you be buried with him in baptism. That for the forgiveness of your sins, you raised into a new life. And you start digging your toes in. You start digging in. And you live faithful from here on out. And Jesus said, Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful. For how long? Or even unto what? Even if it means they kill you. Even unto death. And I'll give you a crown of life. We'll help you become a Christian this morning. If you're here, you're a child of God. But you're struggling with your faith. Hey, they did in the first century too. They did in the first century. Dig in. Dig in. And if we can help you by praying with you and for you, that's what we want to do. So if you stand in need of the invitation, you come as together we stand and sing.